to see each one here again. And Brother Galen said, we're thankful for our visitors this morning. We trust that the Lord will bless this service this morning. I have a little thought I'd like to share with us, starting in the book of Matthew. Matthew, the third chapter, in the first verse, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, the leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I want to stop there. I want to I'm thinking about this thought of a root this morning. He said, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I don't know, I don't pretend to know everything that that's referring to about being cast into the fire. I know they were facing the destruction of Jerusalem, was closing down upon them, or if he was talking about the end of time, I really don't know. But I wanted to look now at this verse here in verse 9. He says, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Now when John was preaching repentance, people were being baptized. They were repenting. That's what it said. We read in verse, they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So they received the message, they repented, they were baptized, but the Pharisees never were. The Pharisees and Sadducees that came to his baptism, they weren't baptized. They didn't repent of their sin. And he said, don't say we have Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. You know, that's exactly what they were thinking. They were thinking, you know, who is this guy to tell us to repent? We've got a long line of, we're from Abraham. We're Abraham's seed. That's exactly what they were trusting in and what they were depending upon. Now I want to go to John, the Gospel of John. In the 8th chapter, John 8, and I'd like to start at verse 30. It said, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. Now, I don't know how they came up with that, because they were in bondage to the Roman. They were under Roman rule. They still had a lot of freedom, but the Romans were in control. And the Babylonians conquered them years before. They were in that bondage. They said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Literally, they were Abraham's lineage. But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Now I want to notice here that Jesus went to the root of the problem, and that was sin. Sin is the, they were looking, they didn't feel they were in bondage to any man, but Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, sin has been the problem for every man. The Scripture said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person that's been born except Christ, we know that there was no sin in Christ. Every person, male, female, nationality, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter their abilities, doesn't matter how great they aspire to in life. Sin has reigned in the world. And Jesus came to make us free. Jesus came to bring deliverance to us. Now, John was to prepare the way of the Lord. He was trying to get the hearts of the people prepared for the Lord. And that was through repentance. Through acknowledging that I've sinned, I've failed. And many people did that. They were baptized in Jordan, confessing, asking God for forgiveness, and confessing their sins, wanting what God had for them. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, most of them, I'm not saying all, I feel like God dealt with them too, and I have hopes that Nicodemus made it. But most of them didn't. They were trusting. They were saying. Now, I don't think today most people say, I'm Abraham's seed. Maybe some of the Jews say that. I don't know. But still, a lot of people say things in their heart that keep them back from a place of repentance. Maybe they say, well, I'm really not that bad of a person after all. I'm not as bad as those people, or I'm not that bad. We run into that. And sometimes people do live pretty good lives. There are some people that do live. But I want to say this, that Christ is the only remedy for sin. Christ is the only answer for sin. He's the only escape. He's the only way that we can be set free. And many of the scribes and Pharisees, repentance begins to open it opens us up to be able to receive what God has for us. Paul, in one place, he talked about the veil upon the heart that the Jews had. And he said the veil is upon their heart. They were following what they wanted to do. They were doing what they wanted to do. They felt like their religion was good enough. And I know people today will do what they want to do. But I think about sometimes people think, well, I go to church. I go to church. I'm okay. And yet, if there's sin back here somewhere in my life, it doesn't really mean anything. I can go to church. I can preach the gospel. But if I've got something in my life that I'm holding on to that's sin and wrong, I'm not going to make it. And the way I understand the scriptures is one sin. One sin. Paul said in one place, he said, if I offend one place, I'm guilty of all. One sin that's unrepented, not forsaken, left in my life, in my heart, will keep me from being what God wants me to be. It will hinder me from making heaven my home. One sin. So Lord, help us today, and I want to, sometimes people say, well, they're just all hypocrites. They kind of justify, people go to church, they're just all hypocrites anyway. People are saying these kind of things within themselves. They have reasons why they're not repenting. They have reasons why they're not giving up sin in their life. They had them, and we can have them today. But Jesus kind of, in his discussion with him, he really didn't argue the Abraham's seed deal, but he just went straight to the point. He that committeth sin is the servant of sin. And we need a deliverer. We need to be free. We need to be delivered from the power. And I'm thankful today that the gospel, I believe, delivers us from the power of sin. Now, I also believe this. I believe it's possible for, I believe the standard is to not sin. I believe God wants us to walk in a way that we don't make place and room for sin in our lives. And we just live with it. He wants us to repent. And there is no sin that He can't break the power of it and give us freedom when we repent and when we turn away from it. But if we hold it, you know, we hold on to it, and we give it space and room, then it will be our servant. We'll be in bondage to that sin. We've been studying a book, and it's called Keys to Freedom, but I like it because it likens our life to trees. And it brought out the thought that many times people try to modify behavior by cutting off some branches of their tree. They see some bad fruit that they don't like. They see something in their life they don't like, and they try to modify. They try to cut off the branch. But we've got to go to the root. I'm so impressed with this. John was saying the axe is laid to the root of the tree. We've got to recognize the root is, usually they're underground. You don't see very much of the root. Sometimes you see a little bit above the ground. But a root is where the tree receives its nourishment. It's where it receives its... And in studying this, I ran across something really interesting that I want to get. The book of Job, the 19th chapter. Job and 19. And Job here is talking about verse 25. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But listen to what he says here. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Now, the Septuagint reading of that says, but if ye shall also say, what shall we say before him, and so find the root of the matter in him? See, they were trying to find a problem in Job. They were looking for a cause for his trouble. But it also mentioned, it says, do ye also be aware of deceit? Do ye also, now this is a Septuagint, do ye also be aware of deceit? For wrath will come upon the transgressors, and then shall they know where their substance is. That caught my attention. I thought, what is he trying to say here? You know, he said, wrath will come upon transgressors, then shall they know where their substance is, or it's where their source is at, where the root is at. They'll find out what they're really trusting in and really depending upon. And you know, God allows judgment, even, you know, He allows, the Scripture talks about the Father chastens us, that we can learn, but He helps us to recognize where our source, what we're really seeking to for our source of happiness, security, contentment, what we are really truly leaning upon and putting our hope and trust in. But it said when trouble comes, they'll be able to realize where their substance is at, where the source and the root. You know, I feel like if we have a besetting sin in our life, if we have something that's troubling us, bothering us, I believe we need to pray about God revealing the root to us and helping us to recognize the root is what feeds the tree, and that's where the behavior comes from. It feeds the tree, those unseen things that have affected our life. Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 15th verse. Hebrews 12 and 15, he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A root of bitterness. Now remember, roots, you don't always see them. You don't always see roots. But they're under the ground. That's what is taking in the nourishment, is the root system. It takes in minerals and nutrients from the soil. And I believe our spiritual lives are the same way. That's the root. But he said, beware lest any root of bitterness. There can be, we can have a diseased root. We can have a root that's affecting our lives that we don't, sometimes we're looking at the branches and we ask, why do I get hung up on this? Or why do I fail in this? And many times it's not the branches, it's the root. It's the root. So Lord, and I believe it takes God to help us. But when we repent and we're willing to turn, I believe the Lord can help us see the roots that affect our lives. You know, the roots are they're very strong things. Roots go deep into the ground. They say, I've heard on a pecan tree that there's about as much underground as there is above the ground. On the pecan tree, some trees have shallow roots. Some trees have deep roots. But roots are very, very important for us to get. Now the definition of root, there's a lot of definitions. You know, the one of them is, you've heard of the root word. The root word is not all the prefixes and suffixes added onto it. It's where, you know, what that small little original word meant. But root is something that is an origin or source. There's a scripture that says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, that I want to clarify that a little bit. The Septuagint brings out, it says, it brings out the thought, for a root of all kinds of evil. I'm not, you know, it's a little bit different. This says, our King James says, all evil. But I feel like the diglot's a little clearer. It says, for a root of all kinds of evil is the love of money. That's a root. When people love money more than God, that's a root in their lives that feeds their tree in their life. And it produces all kinds of evil fruit. When people are willing to take advantage of other people, when they're willing to take advantage of situations just to get more money and make a greater profit, there's so much comes from that root. Lord, help us today to be able to, by the help of the Lord, to examine our roots and look at our root system. We want our root system to be, and the Scripture likens us as trees of righteousness, but I've lived long enough to know that things can get started. You know, in digging out this root over here on this tree, it's not just one big root that comes off. You just simply dig off. There's, I don't know, hundreds of roots that come off that root. You'd think, wow, this thing's, I'm ready to pop it up, and there'd be a root coming off the bottom. You don't even see it going down. They're all over, they're like veins. And I believe our lives are the same way. And it's only by the grace of God and the help of the Lord that He can help us to see those roots and help us to be able to take care of them. Have those powers cut out of our lives that we can be what God wants us to be. I appreciate the Scripture where Jesus talked about, He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I thank God for the gospel this morning. It's not a gospel that we just continue to live in sin and hopefully the grace of God will abound and cover all that. No, it's not that. There's a place of repentance. There's a place where we can have those diseased roots taken care of. And we can have good roots that produces good fruit. And we thank God for that this morning. I believe that the plan is perfect. It works. When we follow it with all of our hearts and we allow the Lord to work in our lives and we don't hold anything back on God, and we give Him, we just completely open up. It works. But if we hide and we continue to hold on to sin in our life, it doesn't work that way. It won't work. So Lord, help us today to help us to be able to examine our roots, because roots are very, very powerful forces in life. And I'm going to say they're hard to get out sometimes. Some roots are so deep, so strong, you'll never get away from it in your own strength, in your own ability. It's going to take the power of God. Nothing short but the power of God to deliver and to set free. But He can do it, and I thank Him for it. Amen. Thank you for your attention.